Okay, I'm reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read verses 11 and 12 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You can't stand with us just a minute. You pray that the Lord will help us.
Yes, Lord.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, and begin at verse 11. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Mm-hmm. Let's pray again. Father, we do thank you in Jesus' name for this time to pray and the invitation you give to us, Lord, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace and mercy to help us in the time of need. Lord, it is a need today in my life and life of others. I pray that you'd help us, give us liberty, Lord, and grace, and courage and boldness, Lord, to preach the word of God today. Open our hearts and minds to the truth, dear Lord. Convict and save sinners and bless the saints of God and edify and build up the believers. We'll be eternally grateful to you. We pray in Jesus' blessed name with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. I'm trying to preach on some things we must know in order to become a Christian. Now, these verses here and the other verses in this chapter teaches us that man in his own strength cannot become a Christian, or we cannot make Christians. As men, we cannot make Christians. In other words, he's saying here, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now, if we're saved, now we've received, already received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God.
Right.
So that connects to being born of the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Got to be born of the Spirit. Jesus said, except a man be born again,
that's right,
he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Right.
He explained it to Nicodemus.
Yep.
And then he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Because the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom.
That's right.
That's Romans 14:17. So the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. In order to get in the kingdom of God, you must be born of the Spirit of God. And so that's what we need. Everyone needs to be born again. And that the new birth is wholly of God. Man cannot produce that. So we must know, first of all, that we are guilty sinners.
Yes.
I think a lot of people really never has come to grips with the fact that they are guilty sinners.
Amen.
And the reason I believe that is because the love of God has been preached the last 50 or 60 years apart from the holiness of God.
Yep.
And just like, you know, that God just loves everybody in the same way. And since God loves everybody in the same way, there's nothing wrong with anybody much. But you got to find out that you're a sinner, that you've offended God.
Right.
And so the only way you can find that out is for God to make it known to you.
Yes, sir.
By the preaching of the word of God and operation of the Spirit of God. Wherefore, but one man, that's Adam, sinned in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. Now, you might not have done as bad as the other fellow has,
right,
but if you sin one time, that makes you a sinner.
Yes.
And when you're a sinner, that puts you under wrath. Because the law of God is a perfect law and must be kept perfectly. Whosoever transgresseth the law committed sin. For sin's a transgression of the law. That's what sin is. And so one sin puts you just as bad off as a fellow that sinned a million times.
Amen.
I've heard people say, well, he's a good fellow, but he just needs to get saved. But the Bible said there are none good.
That's right.
No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God.
Right.
So by nature, we don't seek after God. We seek God because God is seeking us.
Yes, sir.
And the Holy Spirit must bring the Word of God to you and let you know that you are a guilty sinner, not just a sinner, but a guilty, wretched sinner, a lost sinner. In other words, if you ever find out you're lost, God has to let you know it. If you ever find out you're saved, God has to let you know that. Man can't let you know either one of them.
That's right.
I can preach the Word of God and the evidence of salvation, but I can't make you know that you're saved. God has to let you know you're saved. And being saved is more than making the decision, or it's more than going to forward in a Baptist church. Being saved is God taking your sins away. See, the blood of Christ has been set forth. Romans 3:14. Christ entered into heaven by his own blood and obtained the eternal redemption for us. So if I understand that, he sprinkled a mercy seat with his own blood in heaven and set out the right hand of God. So that blood's been set forth to be a propitiation, a satisfaction through faith in his blood, declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Did Christ at this time his righteousness that God might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus? See, the reason God can still be just, true to his own attributes, is because Christ come down here and did for us what God required. And went back to heaven and took his own blood and sprinkled the mercy seat and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So if you get to God, you got to come through Christ. If you get to Christ, you got to come through the blood. Can't get there any other way. That blood's been set forth to be a satisfaction, a propitiation through faith in his blood. And so God looked down from heaven and looked on the children of men and saw that there was none good. Romans 14. And so we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you must understand that. You've offended God. Your sin is against God. So though David committed terrible sins against Bathsheba, against Uriah, and all that, but you read his repentance psalm in 51, and he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned.
Yes,
and so our sin is offensive to God. So you have offended God, and I've offended God. Don't forget that.
Right.
That's a blessing when you find that out.
Amen.
Then God, when you get saved, God forgives you for offending him. He forgives you for transgressing his law. See, now let me say this right here, I'll forget because I'm getting old. The reason hell is eternal is because sinners die under the law. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1. The law is not made for a righteous man. But who is a righteous man? Only we who are in Christ are righteous. And we're righteous because we have his righteousness imputed to us. So if a fellow dies apart from the grace of God, he dies under the law. The law requires a perfect payment. He can't pay a perfect payment. So he goes to hell, stays eternity, paying on it.
That's right.
He can't satisfy it. That's why hell's eternal.
Right.
God cannot repeal his law. He cannot do away with his law. And I think we need some law preaching in its rightful order.
Yes, sir.
The reason there's no fear of God on people today is there's not been any law preaching the last 50 years in its rightful order. The law is good if you use it lawfully.
That's right.
The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law produces fear. Grace produces liberty and peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That means we didn't have any peace before. Not peace with God. But we got peace with God when you exercise faith in Jesus Christ and are justified.
Yes.
You cannot feel justification. You can feel regeneration, but you can't feel justification.
Right.
Justification is legal.
Yeah.
Regeneration is spiritual.
Yeah.
Both must happen to you.
That's right. Amen.
Now somebody said there's no feeling in salvation. I said, well, there's no feeling in justification, but there's feeling in regeneration because it says the wind blowing where it listed.
That's right.
See, the Spirit produces regeneration. By faith, you're justified. Now, God has to give you faith. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you must know first that you're a guilty sinner, and then you must know the results of your sin. The sin puts you under wrath.
Amen.
We're children of wrath by nature, not children of love.
Right.
Children of wrath. That's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3.
Yeah.
children of wrath by nature. John 3:36, the wrath of God abides on the head of every unbeliever. Unbelief is willful rejection and refusal of the will of God and the word of God.
Amen.
It's rebellion. Unbelief is rebellion. Unbelief's not doubt. Some Christians doubt, and some people get mixed up on that. I've had people come to me and say, well, I'm doubting my salvation, or I'm doubting this. I said, do you know the difference in doubt and unbelief? He said, no. I said, unbelief is rebellion. Doubt is doubting God for the present situation.
Amen.
Peter doubted.
Right. You're
right. In Matthew 14. Many people doubt, but that's no sign you're lost because you doubt.
Right.
Unbelief puts you under the wrath of God. He that believes not is condemned already.
Amen.
Because you believe not in the only begotten Son of God. Now you may believe intellectually, you may be historical facts, but don't believe with the heart. Heart's who you are. You don't really believe in Jesus Christ from the heart, though you believe the historical facts of the gospel. There is a difference.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You can believe the facts without being born again.
Amen.
You can believe the facts without being saved. Everybody around Fentress County, most people believe the facts of the gospel. But they do not believe the reality of the gospel. It's not real to them. See, if you ever hear the gospel as good news, you'll never get over that.
Praise the Lord.
You know, you can believe, I've heard people half drunk talk about how they believe this and believe that and believe the other. And they did believe it with their head. But they wasn't saved because they didn't believe with the heart. You must have some faith given to you.
That's right.
And there's a difference in historical intellectual faith and saving faith.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to say, the result of your sin, John 3:17, you're condemned already.
Yeah.
That's not condemned by me or not condemned by Amazing Grace Church, condemned by God.
Amen.
God puts you under condemnation of his law.
Amen.
And the law requires you. The law requires you to produce what the law said to produce.
That's right.
That's why, and it's just wrong for people to say, well, Christ just came in here to die for us. No, Christ was born for us.
Amen.
And Christ lived for us. Christ kept the law for us.
Amen.
And Christ went to the cross and was cursed under the law.
Right.
As though he did not keep it. He is judged under the law and suffered the eternal punishment of the law in his own body and in his soul. I can understand a little bit about the suffering of the body, but it's pretty hard to understand that God made him to be sin.
That's right. Yes.
Actually, he imputed our sin to Christ.
Amen.
And judged Christ for our sins as though Christ was a sinner.
That's right.
And he offered himself to God and kept the law and offered his body, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That's outside. He wore a crown of thorns and underwent all the whipping and the beating and the mocking and the scourging and everything that he underwent outwardly, and that was bad. But listen, at 12 o'clock in the day, God the Father turned Christ into our sins.
That's right.
Made him to be sin.
Yep.
And then he spared not his own son, Romans 8:32. In other words, God the Father in redemption's work treated Christ just like he'll treat the worst sinner that ever lived. Even turned his face away from him, just like he's going to forsake sinners. And you know what? If you're not saved, you die in that shape, God's going to turn his face away from you. And God's going to let you go down under his wrath. And it is wrath. An eternal ruin. Christ went there on the cross. His soul went to hell for us.
Yep.
Under the wrath of God.
Thank
Brother, if you ever get a hold of that, you may rejoice.
Amen.
Did you know salvation is you finding that out from God? That's what salvation is. Listen, I'm not against going to Mourner's Bench. I'm not against going to pray anywhere. But listen, salvation's in Christ.
Yes.
And you must find out in your spirit being that Jesus Christ has underwent the wrath of God for you.
Amen.
And satisfied God for you. And resurrected the third day to justify you.
Yes.
Praise God. And you can come by repentance and faith. And God, for Christ's sake, can forgive your sins. And that blood will cleanse all the sins away. And God will see you in Christ without any spot or blemish. But only God can let you know that. Only God can let you. In other words, you must undergo what we call conviction.
Yes.
That means God proves you guilty.
Yeah.
You're on the broken commandments of God. And God sets up a fear in your heart.
Yes.
The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, not the love of God.
Amen.
The fear of God, you find out first that he's holy.
Amen.
That he requires more out of you than you can produce.
Yeah.
And he breaks your heart because you're a sinner.
Amen.
And it's not how you pray or how long you stay at the altar. Amen. Or what old you say. Praise God. It's a heart work.
Yes, sir.
You finding out that you're a sinner. And you find out the condemnation you're under. And you find out that Christ come down here to take your place. And it's a personal thing. You say, well, I believe Christ died for everybody. Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about. Everybody around here believes Christ died for everybody. But Paul said he loved me and did himself for me. And so what salvation is you find out that Christ did it for you, not everybody. He done it for you. It's a personal salvation. It's a personal revelation.
Yes,
yeah. Amen. I've seen through the years, maybe this fellow over here down at the altar, have a bunch of people at the altar. This fellow over here, he's down to praying, and only one of them, you know, gets saved. God makes known to one. Because
yeah.
The other fellow's heart's not fixed.
Right.
His head may be messed up. His head may be troubled, but his heart, and heart's who you are. Not the organ that pumps the blood.
Right.
It's your will.
Yeah.
Your motive.
Yeah.
Your desire. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm about to say this. Watch it. Man's will must be broken.
Yes, right.
God knows them of a broken heart and saved such to be of a contrite spirit.
Yeah.
So you will come to God savingly when God breaks your will.
Amen.
You won't come before. God must break your will. You know what? He gives you a will to do his will.
Amen.
Paul said, talking about the inward and outward man, he said, the will is present with me. But how to perform that, which is good, I find out. In other words, he had another old man. See, if you're saved, you got an old man and a new man. Outward man, inward man. No, he's talking to somebody about that don't have it. Because they don't know what you're talking about. See, the sinner just had one man. Inward's connected with the outward, and outward's connected with inward. So he just got one man. But if you're saved, your inward man's been cut loose from your outward man.
That's right.
You've been circumcised.
Yep.
That's a circumcision made without hands.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 2 says.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in salvation. He circumcised, cut the inward man loose from the outward man.
Yep.
The inward man's born again.
Yep.
Outward man's ruled dead because of sin. And so when you get saved, you got a man inside that's alive and a man outside that's dead.
That's right. Yes, sir.
But you got power inside in the inner man to make the outward man that's dead make him alive. You're supposed to make that reckon yourself to be dead indeed of sin, but alive unto God.
Yeah.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the reason people want to come out today and hear the word of God, most of them, is because they've got an inward man that's got power over the outward man.
Yeah.
And they present their body and yielding their body. See, the body brought you out here today, not the inward man, the outward man.
That's right.
So there's no good thing in the flesh.
Right.
But the good thing's in the inward man.
Yep.
So the inward man's got power over the outward man.
Yeah, that's right.
So we can reckon ourselves dead unto sin and alive unto God. So we can come out here and present our bodies a living sacrifice.
Yes.
Though God said you're dead.
Amen.
But you can present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy.
Right.
That holiness ain't preached much.
That's good preaching.
Present your body a living sacrifice. Holy. Holy and acceptable. In other words, God won't accept it if it's not holy.
That's right.
And you can and I can produce holiness on the outside.
That's right.
We're supposed to live holy.
Yeah.
That's coming from the inside, not outside. So we don't have anything to boast in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We have nothing to boast in at all. Everything about salvation is the gift of God.
Right.
And so God lets you know. By the way, have you ever found out from God that Christ died for you personally? Now, a lot of people believe that he died for everybody generally. Everybody around believes that. But I found out 20 years old that he died for me personally.
Amen.
He took my place.
Amen.
I found that out by the preaching of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
God, by the Spirit of God, let me know the word of God come to me. And the gospel means good news. So it's good news to me when I found out that Christ took my place.
Yes,
he died for me.
Yes.
He loved me enough to die for me.
Yeah.
And God loved me enough to forsake his son in order to save me.
Amen. That's right.
The only way God can save us is Christ had to satisfy justice.
Yes, right.
And that's why Old Testament saints were not born again.
Amen.
They were not born again.
Yes, sir.
They're justified by faith in a promise.
Right.
That's Hebrews 11:13. But Christ comes down here, of course, born of the law, born of the Old Testament economy, and lived on the law, and kept the law, and died on the law, and satisfied the law.
Yes, sir.
And when he got up the third day, the law is finished now.
Amen.
And Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, not that one, but that one that believeth.
Amen.
So you and me that are saved, we're not on the law now, we're under grace.
Amen.
That don't mean God done away with his law. That means you got up under by faith in Christ. Because Christ satisfied the law.
Yeah.
We're not trying to live under a bunch of rules.
Sure.
We've been freed from the bondage of the law.
Amen.
But if you're not saved, you're under the curse of the law.
Amen.
The law is pronounced for curse and wrath on you.
Yeah.
And if you were to die, you go down to hell under the wrath of God today.
Yeah.
And you ought to shout hallelujah. That curse has been moved from you.
Yeah.
And you've been delivered from the curse of the law.
Amen.
And now to be out of the body, be praying with the Lord now.
Yeah.
If you're saved.
Amen.
But you can't find that out from me. You got to learn that from God.
Amen.
God has to let you know
sure,
that.
Brother.
That's what the book says here. Now we receive, not the spirit of the world, the spirit of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You can't know them unless God makes it real to you.
Amen.
You can know some facts about it.
Yeah.
But you can enjoy the blessings of it.
Amen.
Unless God makes it known to you.
Amen.
See, we don't deserve anything at all. I've heard people say, well, God, I don't know what God seen in me. Well, he didn't see nothing good in you.
That's right.
There was nothing good in any of us.
Right.
And we don't have anything to boast of now. The only good thing in us now is the good God that's on the inside
yes,
of us.
Yeah.
We'd be drinking whiskey and taking drugs doing something if God wasn't in us.
That's right.
According to Colossians 1:27, the reason to go this mystery is Christ in you, which is the hope of glory.
Yes.
So Christ is in us now. You know, I've heard people say, and you have too, well, God met with us. That's an Old Testament term.
Sure.
That God used to meet with them at the temple. God goes with us. When you go home, he goes with you.
Amen.
Wherever you go, he's on the inside if you're saved.
Sure.
When you come back up here, reading you feel more out here, it's because everybody's got that same Christ. We're trying to be in unity, so it's more manifested now.
Amen.
I believe that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that Lord don't leave you when you go out of here. He goes with you. Christ is in you. You get born of God. The New Testament church is an assembly. And the reason we grow into a holy temple in the Lord. That's reference to the Old Testament. See, God's glory filled the temple. When you get together and I get together, if we're yielded to God fully, it's like a temple growing. We're members one of another. And the Spirit of God's manifested more.
Yes, sir.
We're all together. Ain't that a blessing? Got more liberty, you know, and everything. So I'm glad that Jesus didn't save himself.
Right.
You know, they said he saved others, himself he cannot save.
Right.
That's true.
Sure.
He could have come down, but he couldn't come down to save us.
Right.
So in order to save us, he stayed on the cross.
Amen.
Now that wasn't the worst thing that they did to him outside. The worst thing is what happened to him in the darkness.
Yeah. Sure, preacher.
He stayed under darkness, out of darkness. Underwent the wrath of God.
Right.
Satisfied the law of God.
Yes, sir.
That's why when he cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost, the earth quaked and the rocks rent. The veil was rent and framed from top to bottom. God was saying, I'm satisfied with what my son's finished.
Yeah.
God ain't looking for anything else.
Right.
He's satisfied with what Christ did.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to get God to be satisfied with you and you want to get him satisfied with you, you got to come to his son. And you come to his son pleading guilty that you ought to got the wrath he got.
Yep.
And you take the blame.
Right.
And then what you do, you believe in.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about intellectual belief. You trust. After you hear the gospel yourself, but you trust.
Yeah.
Trust means that you turn over.
Amen.
If you put money in the bank out here, you trust that bank, don't you?
Sure.
You trust that check to be good when you write that check or that card or whatever, how you do it.
Amen.
If you didn't trust the check, you wouldn't put your money in there.
Sure.
Now that's the kind of trust the Bible's talking about. He's not saying, I believe in Jesus. Oh, no. He's talking about you trust in him.
Amen.
You trusted him with your soul.
Amen.
You trusted him with your eternal destiny.
Yes, sir.
You've turned over.
Yep.
Have you heard the gospel of your salvation, not somebody else's salvation? Your salvation.
That's right. Good stuff.
And when you hear the gospel of your salvation, believe.
Yep.
Then you trust.
Yep.
And he saved you from the wrath to come.
Sir.
Ain't that good?
Yeah.
In other words, if we're saved, we're as good as in heaven now if we're saved. Because
right.
God's so eternal, he can't have a temporary thought.
Right.
And we're so temporary, we can't hardly have an eternal thought.
Right.
So salvation is eternal.
Yeah.
And when I say eternal, I mean it didn't have no beginning either.
That's right.
It don't have no ending. Because back in eternity, God had us in mind before he ever made Adam. He fixed the covenant of mercy, a blood covenant. And Christ stood in that covenant as the Lamb slain the foundation of the world.
Yes.
God always had the cross in view.
Amen.
Always had the church in view. Always had you in view.
Yeah, thank God.
Don't you like that?
Praise.
That's why old Baptists believe in eternal security.
Amen.
Not temporary security.
That's right.
Somebody said, you a Calvinist? I said, no, I'm a Christian. You couldn't be both. I'm a Christian. But eternal security is in Christ.
Sure.
When you get in Christ, you're as though you go all the way back because you're in Christ.
Right.
And you're as though you go all the way forward because you're in Christ.
Yes,
you
sir.
Can't separate Preach. Us from Christ.
That's good. Amen.
Amen. We're in Christ. And have, he gives, didn't he say he gives eternal life?
That's right.
You know why he gives us his life?
Yeah.
If you get his life, he's always been, always will be.
That's right.
So that's what's called eternal salvation.
Yeah.
If you ever get a hold of that, you might jump up and down a little. Amen. I would if I could. I can't jump. My legs messed up. But if I could jump around, I would.
Sure.
If I had the energy these young fellas got, I don't blame them for running around. Just go do whatever you want to in the Spirit of God.
Sure.
Because your sins are gone.
Thank God.
That's a judicial act.
Amen.
You know, one good lady, and she's a good lady. One time I was preaching, and she said, Brother Mitchell, said, when I got saved, said, the Lord come down and said, he washed me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I said, no, he didn't. You just think he did. You felt like he did, but that's not the way that works.
Sure.
When he says washed in the blood, he's not talking about pouring some blood on you.
No.
He's talking about you coming to that blood by faith.
Yep. Right.
You coming to God through Christ.
Yep.
That blood's on the altar. It's always been there now
yep.
since Christ went back to heaven. So when you exercise faith in Christ and that blood judicially washes your sins away.
Right.
God counts them as though they're not.
Amen.
And he reckons to your record in heaven the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And makes us righteous in Christ.
Yes, sir.
Therefore be justified by faith. We have peace with God.
Yep.
Peace with God.
Yep.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also have access by faith into this grace. So we're saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves, it's a gift of God.
Amen.
Though faith is of God, and faith of the faith of Christ, and it was a gift of God, you can't be justified without exercising it.
That's right.
So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, so you must exercise faith.
Amen.
Though God give it to you, you didn't have anything until God give it to you. He's the author and finisher of our faith.
Right.
He's the originator of it. So the faith we have is the faith of the Son of God.
Yeah.
It was given to us by hearing the word of God. Now, don't let this upset you, but everybody here is preaching every time don't get faith.
Right.
See, maybe a sinner over here, he may receive saving faith today. Maybe a sinner back here, he's not even on a conviction. He don't realize how wicked he is. He won't get no saving faith.
Sure.
God gives saving faith when he shows you how wicked you are.
Amen.
When you'll be still and hear the word of God. The Holy Ghost is faithful to bring the gospel to you in power.
Yeah.
You must hear it in power. And he lets you know what a sinner you are. Sometimes that happens all in the same service. Sometimes it takes several services for that to happen.
Sure.
That's why you're supposed to go and be swift to hear the word of God.
Yeah.
If you go hear the word of God, ask God to give it to you, have an open mind, open heart to receive the word of God, you'll get saved.
Amen.
But if you just hit and miss, you're not interested much, you won't get saved. If you be still and listen to the word of God. The word of God has power when it comes to you in power. Paul says, Thessalonica believers, my gospel came not in word only, but in power and Holy Ghost and much assurance.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And then they knew that there's one of God's children. When the word of God comes in power.
Amen.
It's a revelation to you of who Christ is. You finding out what you are and who he is.
Amen.
Yeah. That's good.
You know, really, and I'm through preaching, and I've heard others say, I found out before I went to the altar. I found that out. I found it before I went to the altar.
Yep.
See, Philip didn't give an invitation. In Acts 8, God gave the invitation.
That's right. Amen.
And you know, Paul never did give an invitation.
That's true.
God gave an invitation while Paul was preaching.
Yep.
Now, I'm not against invitations. I'll go tell somebody I'm not, bitch, I'm not against invitations.
Right.
But I think God must be talking to you.
Right.
He must give you an invitation to come. You won't come any other way, not savingly.
That's right.
So when I obeyed his invitation, sitting about five seats back, and took that first step of faith, the burden of sin rolled away.
Yeah.
Of course, I went on upright because that's what Baptists do.
That's right.
Baptists go to altar, and I just went down and up. Burden of sin left. I had peace, first time I ever had peace with God.
Sure.
I was forgiven.
Yes, sir.
Right on the spot. So when you're enabled by the Spirit of God, when you're enabled to take the blame, see, it's pretty hard to take the blame.
Uh-huh. Sure is.
I could preach another hour on that. Look here. You can't get reconciled without taking the blame.
Right.
When Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, be ye reconciled to God, because God is in Christ, reconciled the world to himself. Now he said, be ye reconciled. So you know what? You can take a man and a woman, two friends, anybody, and they fall out.
Yeah.
These husbands and wives falling out.
Yeah.
Anybody here know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
You know why they can't get reconciled? Neither one of them won't take the blame.
Good. Amen.
See, she blames him, and he blames her.
Yeah.
So there's no reconciliation. They wind up divorced.
Good.
Look here, if you're going to get reconciled to God, you take the blame.
Amen.
Good.
You take the blame.
Yeah.
If you'll take the blame, for being a condemned, unruly, lost, hell-deserving rebel, you take the blame.
Yeah.
Plead guilty. Take sides with God against yourself.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. Somebody said, well, it's hard to get saved. I said, well, it's not hard for God to save you. It's hard for you to give yourself away.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard for you to take sides with God against yourself.
Right.
You got to be reconciled to God. You got to take the blame. Have you ever took the blame?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Everybody here ever took the blame for being a lost sinner?
Yeah.
I mean, when I took the blame.
Yeah.
That's pretty hard for me to do. You know, I was proud, you know, and I didn't want to take the blame. Everybody else thought I was all right.
Oh, yeah.
I could have joined the church anytime. They'd have been glad they got me. You know, all they knew, I just sung a song, and three or four people shouted, and they took it by that I was saved. I didn't tell them I was saved. They didn't ask me. I didn't tell them. I just went back there and sat back down again.
Yeah.
Went right on. They took it because somebody else rejoiced because there was a young fella using the talent of the Lord. They thought that I was saved.
Mm-hmm.
You might be surprised how many people you think saved.
That's right. Amen.
And what they done, instead of coming in through the gate, they climbed over the fence.
That's good.
Right.
See, Christ said, I'm the door.
Yeah.
A lot of people are trying to go around the door and climb in.
That's right.
Get in some other way. If you get in, you got to come in right.
Amen.
Lord made that known to me.
Yep.
Lord made it known to me. I couldn't get in. I could have joined the church.
Yep.
And got baptized and been a church member and everything. But, oh, I was bad shape down inside.
Sure.
If you take the blame, that's what you need to do. And you trust Christ. You believe, whosoever believeth in him. Whosoever believeth in him.
Yep.
Said, what does it mean to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, all you are.
Yeah, that's right.
You believe with all you are.
That's right.
You trust him to take care of you in time and eternity.
Amen.
That's what saving faith is.
Yeah.
May God help you. I hope the Lord will help somebody today.
Yeah. Good preaching.
There might be somebody here that don't know you're saved.
That's good. God.
You might need to get saved.
Yeah.
Most important thing in all your life
is
to get saved. Yeah. Now, salvation available. Salvation accomplished. Salvation is a gift.
Yeah.
But it must be given.
Yeah.
And he don't give it to anybody that wouldn't appreciate it. You got to be brought to where he says before he gives it to you. But he'll give it to you. You don't have to understand a lot of doctrines. You just have to understand you're the sinner. He's the Savior.
Amen.
You plead guilty in repentance. Take your faith, take your place before God and exercise faith in Christ. Not trust the finished work of Christ. Trust the worker. Trust him and what he did for you.
Amen.
May God bless you.